Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
We live. We live now on Blog Talk as we speak. On the top part, Cation, day 7. The beginning of it. I'm your host for tonight. I'm your host, lead teacher, Brother Titus Israel, of Voices of the True Israelite, Camp Number 1. We also got our upcoming teacher online, Prince, Brother Nehemiah Israel. That up-and-coming teacher out of Camp 1, a voice of the true Israelite. He ain't going to tell you all about this ministry and what we about. About that disclaimer. Yahuwah be with you there, Prince, Brother Nehemiah Israel, up-and-coming teacher out of Camp 1.
Yahuwah bless you, brother. Yahuwah be with you, Brother Titus Israel, a Seed Royal lead teacher. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. I want you to bring out that disclaimer, what this ministry is all about.
Our disclaimer, the requirements to be a teacher or a reader must be bold. First Esdras chapter 8 and verse 3. This Esdras went up from Babylon as a scribe, being very ready in the law of Moses that was given by the Yahuwah of Israel. The requirements to be a teacher or a reader must be bold. He has to be inspired, represents something that compels an individual to take action, encourage, reinforce, stimulate. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahuwah and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction and righteousness. The requirements to be a teacher or a reader, he must be motivational, able to make someone enthusiastic about something, that process that initiates, guides, and maintain goal-oriented behaviors. John chapter 3 and verse 11. Verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. We are the peaceful ministry, peaceful and nonviolent ministry. We are the voices of the true Israelites. We're not affiliated with any other group. If they say we, the voices of the true Israelites, the six anointed camps are with them, they are a liar from the pits of hell. We are not anti anybody or affiliated with any other organization or group. We are the lead tribe, the tribe of Judah, and we teach the covenant of YHWH and YHWH only. Our mission is to wake up the 12 tribes of Israel that is scattered among the four corners of the earth. We only teach YHWH covenant. We don't teach the polluted titles of Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah. See EZRA chapter 2, verse 62, and breaking down the truth of Yahuwah's word. We teach and we walk it and we live it. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there. Prince Bud Nehemiah Israel, C. Roy. I'm becoming a teacher out of Camp 1. Give me Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. And then swing over there to Luke chapter 12, verse 12.
Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. 20, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Luke chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, for the righteous Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Hallelujah. And that same hour, that very same hour, the righteous Spirit will teach you what you ought to say in that same hour. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Maccabees. Going to 1 Maccabees chapter 4. Going to 1 Maccabees chapter 4. Pick it up at verse. Pick it up at verse 45. 1 Maccabees chapter 4. Pick it up at verse 45.
First Maccabees chapter 4 and verse 45. First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 45. First Maccabees chapter 4 and verse 45. Then they thought it best to pull it down, lest it should be a reproach to them, because the nation had defiled it. Wherefore they pulled it down.
Okay, because the nation had defiled it, therefore they pulled it down. We're coming back because we got to know what nation is he talking about in this case. For that fact, all the audience, you want to know what nation that he's talking about, verse 45. Hold that point there. Put your marker there, Prince Bud Nehemiah, where we're coming back. Let's go to the foundation. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis. Chapter 36. What nation is this he's talking about? Go to Genesis chapter 31. And then verse 8 and 9. So we want to know, we can't just read what nation. Nation could be anybody. What nation is this that he's talking about in this case? Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 36, verse 1 and 8, and verse 9.
Genesis chapter 36, 1, then 8 and 9. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Verse 8, thus dwelt Esau in the Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Verse 9, and these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir.
Now we just got a name of what nation he's talking about in 1 Maccabees chapter 4, verse 45. We just got a name, Esau. We just got a name. Give me another hit, Prince of Nehemiah Israel. Let's go to Chronicles. Go to the book of Chronicles. Now we got a name on the table, Esau. Give me First Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 34 and 35. First Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 34 and 35. And we coming back to First Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 45. First Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 34 and 35.
Chronicles chapter 1, 34 and 35. And Abraham begat Isaac, the sons of Isaac, Esau, and Israel. 35. The sons of Esau, Eliphaz, Reuel, and Jeush, and Jalam, and Korah.
There are your five sons of Esau right there. The five sons of Esau. So we got a name, Esau. We got Esau and his five sons. All right. Okay. Let's come back to First Maccabees chapter 4. With that understanding, Prince Brother Nehemiah Israel, we come back to First Maccabees chapter 4. Wherever you see this word yeeted, you bring out Esau and his five sons. Quote what you just got to read. Read Genesis 36, verse 1, 8, and 9, and First Chronicles. Chapter 1, 34, and 35. We're coming back. The First Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 45. With that understanding, Prince of Nehemiah Israel, you're on the clock.
First Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 45. They thought it best to pull it down, lest it should be of reproach to them, because the heathen, Esau and his five sons, or nation, had defiled it, wherefore they pulled it down.
Go ahead.
46. And laid up the stones in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place until there should come a seer to show what should be done with them.
All that point. Read verse 46 again.
And laid up the stones in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place until there should come a seer to show what should be done with them.
What should be done with them? Let's precept that. What is seer's job is to do? Let's precept that. Let's go to Sirach. Go to Book of Sirach. We're going to Book of Sirach, chapter 37. What is seer's job is to do? Let's go to Book of Sirach, chapter 37. Sirach 37, verse 23.
Sirach 37 and 23. A wise seer instructs his people, and the fruits of his understanding fail not.
Fail not. So a wise seer instructs his people. Talking about these elders. So the job of the seer is to pass it down to the elders. The elders pass it down to the lead teachers, to the fathers, to the mothers, to the children. That's the order of things. Let's get a precept. Give me Sirach chapter 10, verse 1. Let's get a precept. Sirach chapter 10. The same way you read Sirach 37, verse 23. The same way you read this in Sirach chapter 10, verse 1. None changed.
Sirach chapter 10 and 1. A wise seer, a seer will instruct his people, and the government of a prudent man
that's Prince Brother Nehemiah is read. Prince Brother Nehemiah is read. Read out the way you read Sirach 37, the way you read Sirach 37, verse 23, same way you read that. Same way you read that. Don't leave out the word wise. When you see this judge, it's talking about a seer. Don't leave out the word wise. Just read it the way it is. Sirach 37. All right, read it again. Sirach chapter 10, verse 1.
Sirach chapter 10 and 1. A wise seer will instruct his people, and the government of a prudent man is well ordered.
Aluyakwa, Aluyakwa. That's the order of things. That's the order of things. We come back to that first Maccabee. Come back to that first Maccabee. That chapter 4. All right, you're at verse 47. You're at verse 47.
First Maccabees 4 and 47. Then they took whole stones according to the law and built a new altar according to the former. 48.
Okay, go ahead.
And made up the temple and the things that were within the temple and hallowed the courts. 49. They made also new righteous vessels, and into the temple they brought the candlestick and the altar of burnt offerings and of incense at the table and the table.
Well, they went in the temple, got things in order in the temple. So they went in the temple, it was setting up things in order. They had to get some light going on in the temple. They had to get some light. They had to get the temple prepared for people to come in. That's the order thing. Go ahead.
Verse 50. And upon the altar they burned incense, and lamps that were upon the candlestick they lighted, that they might give light into the in the temple.
They might give light to the temple. So I had to get some light going on in the temple. Get the temple, get things in order, prepared for the people to come in. Okay, verse 51.
51. Furthermore, they set loaves upon the table and spread out veils and finished all the works which they had begun to make.
Verse 52.
52. Now on the 25th day of the 9th month, which is called the month Casalu, in the 148th year, they rose up betimes in the morning.
Bring out your Hebrew calendar. Bring out your Hebrew calendar, what this night month falls on. We read the month Kazu, but what the world called it on your Hebrew calendar. Make sure you got your Hebrew calendar. We want to know what, we know it's the night month. We know it's the night month. Go to your Hebrew calendar, and we'll see what it says, ninth month.
Ninth month is Chislu, which is December.
December, which we on right now. Which we on right now. And how do we count our month? And what do the month begins with? When do our month start at? Put your marker
April.
There. And how do we count our month? Well, let's be clear about something. How do we count our month? Tornam, who can read. How do we count our month? Let's go to the book of Exodus. We're going to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. We pick it up at chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. And then swing over there to
Exodus chapter 12, 1 and 2, then 13 and 4. And the Yahuwah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Exodus 13 and 4. This day came you out in the month of Abib.
This month of Abib. But back to your Hebrew calendar. First month. You know, it's month of Abib in the Hebrew calendar, or what the world call it. Well, back to Hebrew calendar.
April,
right? April. So you count April all the way down. So you count April, which is number one, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want you to count it on your Hebrew calendar protocol so we can get to the ninth month on your calendar. So that start with the first month all the way down to the ninth month.
The first month is Abib, is April. The second month is Zif, is May. The third month is Sivan, June. The fourth month, Lamuz, July. The fifth month, AB, August. Sixth month, Elul, September. The seventh month, Tisar, October. The eighth month, Aul, November. The ninth month, Chislu, December.
Hallelujah. There go your ninth month right there. There go your ninth month right there. There go your ninth month right there. Okay, back to where you was at. Come back to 1 Maccabees chapter 4. You completed verse 52?
Hallelujah.
All right, Victor. Okay, 53.
And offer sacrifice according to the law upon the new altar of burnt offerings which they had made.
Which they had made. Verse 54.
54. Look at what time and what day the nation Esau and his five sons had profaned it. Even in that was it dedicated with songs, citherns, harps and cymbals.
Harps and cymbals. So they dedicated with songs, systems, harps and cymbals. They had some music going on. Case in point. Know what you got, we coming back. Is that dedicated with songs? Even that it was dedicated with songs, systems, harps and cymbals. There's music going on. Going to the book of Sirach. Know what you got. Going to the book of Sirach. This was going on. Give me Sirach chapter. Give me Sirach chapter 32. Pick up at verse 3, all the way to verse 6. Sirach chapter 32, verse 3 down to verse 6.
Sirach chapter 32 and verse 3 through 6. Speak thou art the elder, for it becometh thee, but with sound judgment, and hinder not music. Out words where there is a musician, and show not forth wisdom out of time. 5. A concert of music and a banquet of wine is as a signet of carbuncle set in gold. 6. As a signet of an emerald set in a work of gold, so is the melody of music with pleasant wine.
You got to have some music. You got to have that wine, a bottle of wine going. Cause some people, when they got some music, they want to pour out words for the magician. Words that will be contrary against Yahweh's word. Cause of sin. That was the music. That was a magician. That had some music going on all feast days. On that first day and on that eighth day. That's when you got some music going on. All right. You coming back to First Maccabees? Or you read verse 54? You're at verse 55.
First Maccabees 4 and 55. Then all the people fell upon their faces, worshiping and praising the Yahuwah of heaven, who had given them good success. 56.
The Yahuwah strengthened the hands of Judah Maccabees for to put the beat down on Esau and his five sons by the defeat of whooping Esau and his five sons. By Yahuwah strengthened the hands of Judah Maccabees and his man. So remember, he'll bring all things to your remembrance. All things to your remembrance. Verse 56. Verse 56. Are you there, Prince by Nehemiah Israel?
Read 56.
Lou Yahuwah.
Verse 56. And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness and sacrifice, the sacrifice of deliverance and praise.
Hold that point. So this feast is 8 days. So this feast is 8 days. And what are these feasts of 8 days comparison to? Then we can read. What is these feasts of 8 days comparison to that we can read? Let me see one. Let me see who this is online. Be to greet him. Yahuwah be with you there. Prince. Brother Daddy Israel of C. Roy. Up and coming teacher out of Cat 1. Why be you there? Prince, Brother Daniel Israel, C. Roy, Alu Yakwa. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go to 2 Maccabees chapter 10. Go to 2 Maccabees chapter 10. 2 Maccabees chapter 10, pick it up at verse 1.
2 Maccabees chapter 10 and verse 1. Now Maccabees and his company, the Yahuwah guiding them, recovered the temple and the city. 2. But the altars which the heathen Esau and his five sons they built in the open street, also in the chapel, which is the temple, they pulled down. 3. And having cleansed the temple, they made another altar, and striking stones, they took fire out of them and offered a sacrifice 2 years and set forth incense and lights and showbread.
Verse
4. Verse 4, when that was done, they fell flat down and besought the Yahuwah that they might come no more into such troubles, but if they sin any more against him, that he himself would chasten them with mercy and that they might not be delivered unto the blasphemous and barbarous nations. Verse 5, now upon the same day that the strangers profaned the temple, on the very same day it was cleansed again, and the 25th day of the same month, which is Kislev, which is the 9th month, which is December. Verse 6.
Master, question, Prince by Nehemiah Israel. In that verse 5 there, who was these strangers? Remember, we just read First Maccabees chapter 4. Who was these strangers? These strangers, what, interchangeable for? But what people? What are we reading about so far? Who is these strangers?
Esau and his five.
Hallelujah. So Esau and his five sons. That's who these strangers are. Esau and his five sons. Corbin just got to read. Hello, Yahuwah. Back to verse. You're now on verse 6.
And they kept the 8 days with gladness, as in the feast of the tabernacles, remembering that not long before they had held the feast of the tabernacles, when as they wandered in the mountains and danced like beasts.
Hold that point. So these 8 day feastation is like the feast of what? According to that verse 6 you just got to read.
Of the tabernacles.
So feast of dedication is interchangeable for what? In verse 6.
Feast of the tabernacles.
Hallelujah. 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 Verse 7.
Therefore they bear branches and fair boughs and palms also and sing songs unto him that had given them good success in cleansing his place.
Given them sing songs unto him. So who's a him? So who strengthened the hand of Judah Maccabees and his men? So who's
Yahuwah.
A him? Hallelujah. Unto him, Yahuwah, that I have given them good success in cleansing the place, cleansing his place. Hallelujah. Verse 8.
They ordained also by a common statute and decree that every year those days should be kept of the whole nation of Judah.
So it's an order thing. So this got to be kept. So it's got to be kept. And how are we supposed to keep it?
8 days.
Eight days. That's right. 8 days. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm looking for something out of the book of Deuteronomy. Tabernacle. Like the feast of tabernacle. We're going to the book of Deuteronomy. If you can pull me out, Prince Bunny near my Israel, I'm looking for something. Give me Exodus chapter 13, verse 10. And how are we supposed to keep this feast? We know we're supposed to keep it 8 days. That's good. Give me Exodus chapter 13, verse 10. How are we supposed to keep this feast?
Exodus chapter 13 and 10. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year.
Hallelujah. We're supposed to keep it from year to year. Every year. Changeable with feast of tabernacles, 8 days, from year to year. Give me Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. The precept.
Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Yahuwah throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by the ordinance forever.
Hallelujah. Forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We read 2 Maccabees. And what if you don't keep this feast of dedication, which is interchangeable feast of tabernacles? Let's go to the book of Zechariah. Go to the book of Zechariah. chapter 14. We're going to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, pick up at verse 16. We're going to Zechariah to see it, chapter 14, pick up at verse 16.
Zechariah 14 and 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Yahweh Judah shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Yahweh's host, and to keep the feast of tabernacles.
And again, from year to year, come, we just got to read in Exodus. We just read that. From year to year. It don't change. Verse 17.
17. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Yahweh Judah to worship the king, the Yahweh's host, even upon them shall be no rain.
You don't want that happen. If you ain't got no rain, the rain could be a curse. If it don't be no rain, you can't be able to grow nothing. You're going to starve and you'll eventually die. Because you got to have rain to grow and plant your food. So that's the bad. You don't want to be in bad shape from that. Verse 18.
Verse 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Yahweh will smite the heathen, a nation that come up not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
Hold that point. Point at verse 18. So what nation is this that will not come up? Go over, just got to read. First brother Nehemiah Israel, what nation is it according to verse 18, which you just got to read?
I don't know.
What nation is this that would not come up? We're back to Genesis 36, verse 1 to 8 and 9 again. So it will be clear about what nation would not come up, starting with who? Genesis chapter 36. Genesis 36, verse 1, 8, and verse 9, again.
Genesis chapter 36, 1, 8, and 9. Exodus, I mean. Genesis 31, Exodus. Genesis chapter 36, 1, 8, 9. Now these are the generations of Esau, who was Edom. Verse 8, thus dwelt in Esau in Mount Seir, Esau is Edom. 9. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. So that nation is Esau and his five sons.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So that's the number one nation. The number one nation out of all of them. Starting with Esau and his five sons. Starting with Esau and his five sons. They the first nation to be that. If they make it. But if they make it, first of all, Nehemiah Israel, what Esau and his five sons got to do first? Let's go to coming back. But they got to make it. Why we say if they got to make it? They got a shot. They got a shot. So what they got to do first, according to Ezekiel 33, first born near my Israel, what they got to do first? Ezekiel 33, verse 15. What they got to do first if they join in with the Feast of Tabernacles? Ezekiel 33, verse 15.
Ezekiel 33 and 15, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity or sin, he shall surely live, he shall not die.
Let's put a name on this wiki. Let's put a name on this wiki. Hold that. Put your marker there. We're coming back. Let's put a name on who this wiki. Let's go to Malachi chapter 1. Let's put a name on who this wiki he's talking about in this case. We're going to Malachi chapter 1. When you see this verse 4, it's talking about Esau and his five sons. Malachi chapter 1, verse 4. Malachi chapter 1, verse 4.
Malachi chapter 1, and verse 4. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return to, we return and build the desolate places. Thus said the Yahuwah of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Yahuwah hath indignation forever.
So this wicked is Esau and his five sons. Corbin just got to read. So we'll have to understand it. So we know we're clear about who this wicked is, Ezekiel 33, verse 15. Back to Ezekiel 33, verse 15. So we know who the wicked is by name. So what the wicked got to do? I'm about the wicked, Esau and his five sons. What the wicked got to do? What they first got to do in verse 15?
The wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity. He shall surely live. He shall not die.
So they got to give. Yeah. They got to restore the pledge, and they got to give what they have robbed. And what they have robbed, and this is what the precept come in at, what they have robbed. Let's go to Book of Obadiah. They're going to tell you what they have robbed in the Book of Obadiah. What they have robbed. They have robbed. We're going to Book of Obadiah, chapter 1. Obadiah, chapter 1. We're going to pick it up. Obadiah, chapter 1. Pick up at verse 13. Obadiah, chapter 1. Before you read verse 13, read the Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 1, and skip down verse 13.
Obadiah 1:1, and then verse 13. The vision of Obadiah, thus said to Yahuwah concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor.
Concerning Esau and his five sons. Go ahead.
Concerning Edom, Esau, and his five sons. We have heard a rumor from the Yahuwah. And an ambassador is sent among the nation. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Verse 13. Thou shouldest have not entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity.
Hold that point. He said, gate, he should not enter to the gate of my people. Now we got to put a name on who he's talking about. Give me verse 12. Give me verse 12. Let's get a name on who he's talking about. And when you read that verse 13, so it'll be clear. So we got to get a name on who he's talking about. Give me verse 12.
But thou shouldst not look on the day of thy brother. And the day that he became a stranger, neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress.
Oh, so when you read verse 13, you should not enter the gate of my people. He's talking about his brother Israel, he's talking about the children of Judah, Yada Judah. That's what he's talking about. So he's not worried about Israel, but he's worried about there's certain people, it's been certain Israel that they bought with the Yada Judah. This is what's going on here in verse 13. So we got a name on what we're talking about, the children of Judah. In verse 13, okay, finish that verse 13.
Verse 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity.
Stop right there. So their substance is our written records, all our books. They took hold of all our books. They got our books even to this day. They got stuff in somewhere where they got our books hidden up at. So they got our books, everything that belongs to us, they took hold of. The gold and everything. So the substance is our written records, all our books. All our books returned to the Bible. So they took all, they got some of our books in their possession right now. They got some in the museum. I don't know where the museum is that they have it. Over in the, what's that, the Russian Museum, whatever, they got that. So they got everything that would have been that stolen. When we read Ezekiel 33:15, they took a hold of everything that belonged to us. Our gold, the gold that they got, we had that in the temple, our book. I mean, everything that belonged to us. So if they do that, get back what they had robbed on Ezekiel 33:15. Now we're clear. What is that talking about? About what you read. And then not only that, they took our name. They claiming to be us. So they identity theft as well, too. Along with it. So they identity theft. And who's the name on record and claiming to be you? Claiming to be you. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. We're going to Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, and then we're going to precept that at 2, verse 9.
Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, or the temple of Satan, which say they are Judah and are not, but do lie, but I will make them to come and worship and worship before at thy feet, before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee.
He said, behold, I will make them the temple of Satan. So who was this them? Let's get a name of who was this them that fits this even to this day. Because right now, let's get a name on record that fits this to this day. Who are we talking about in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9? That who would take a person's identity theft. These people is the greatest thieves on record. On record. Let's go to for the foundation first. Go to Genesis chapter 36. Genesis 36, verse 1. Then we're going to skip down, pick up at verse 8 down to verse 12 until we get a name. Back to Genesis chapter 36, verse 1. Let's get down verse 8 through 12.
Genesis 36, 1, then 8 through 12. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. 8. Thus dwelt Esau in the Mount of Seir. Esau is Edom. 9. And these are the generations of Esau, their father. Esau, the father of the Edomites. In Mount Seir. 10. These are the names of Esau's son, Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau, Reuel, the son of Bashemath, the wife of Esau, 11. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatha, and Kenaz, 12. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. And these were the...
Hold on. Read that again.
She bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were
stop
the
right
sons...
Stop right there. Amalek. That's all we want is what we try to get a name. Amalek. So Amalek has this that prophecy in Revelation 3:9-2:9. They the ones that claim to be up. They the ones that called. That's Amalek, Esau's grandson. According to we just read. So we know that Amalek, which is Esau, they the one claim to be us. They the one that call themselves Jewish. They the one that call themselves rabbi. Same people. So Amalek is who we talk about in Revelation 3:9. Esau's grandson. We know it's Esau and the five sons, but you got to know who, where of Esau's five sons. We know that's Amalek. According to what we just reading, Amalek, Esau's grandson. The one who called himself Jewish, the party had an undertaker suit with the twisted hair. The one that be beating their heads on the walls. That's Amalek. Over in the land of Israel. Over in the land of Judah. But we know the world ignorant call it Jerusalem. We know that's a word for Judah. But we took that land according to history. We know that word Jerusalem goes back to Jebusite, which is Canaan boy, the descendants of Hamite. So we know by name that Esau's grandson, the one who called himself Jewish, rabbi. But look what it says. But that's why I got an indignation for certain people, out of Amalek. And let's read that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17. We go to Exodus chapter 17. We're going to pick it up at verse. We're going to read into this. We're going to pick it up at verse 8, all the way down to verse 16. We're going to Exodus chapter 17. We're going to pick it up at verse 8.
Exodus chapter 8, chapter 8. Chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Yahweh in my hand. 10. So Joshua did as Moses said.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the mountain, top of the hill. 11. And it came to pass when Moses was held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. 12. Both Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. 13. Then Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. 14.
Hold that point before you read verse 14. It says, and Joshua, Oshia, who the word for Oshia, discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. It's like we discomfited them when we open his book up. When we open his Bible up, they'd be discomfited of that. Even to this day, starting with Amalek. They don't feel comfortable when you have this book open. I know we get cut off on the airwaves of time. They be discomfort because things is being, all things is coming to remember. I wonder what they have done, and their time is running out. They know they got nothing but a short time. It's like Satan got a short time. It all ties in together. They know they got but a short time, but their time is running out. He said, with the edge of the sword, discomfort with the edge of the sword. The edge of the sword. All that point. You're coming back. With the edge of the sword. Go in the book of Ephesians. Go in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6. You're going to pick it up at verse 16 and 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. We come back to Exodus chapter 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17.
Ephesians 6, 16 and 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you have, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 17.
So the shield is his faith, talking about his word, his covenant. All right, verse 17.
17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahuwah.
That's what we're talking about, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahuwah. When they discomfort him with that sword. So when you read that sword, according to Ephesians chapter 5, from Ephesians chapter 6, 16 to 17. That sword is the word of Yahuwah. When that word of Yahuwah come out, I discomfort them. The enemy knows it. Our number one enemy, animal. Going back to Exodus chapter 17, you have verse 14.
Exodus 17 and 14. And the Yahuwah said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, so it will be utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. 16, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahuwah Nisi.
Yahuwah. Yahuwah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Verse 16, and for he said, because the Yahuwah has sworn that the Yahuwah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Even to this day. He said Yahuwah gonna have war with Amalek to Amalek from generation to generation. Even to this day. Even to this day. Let's get a precept for that. We're going to the book of Numbers. We're going to the book of Numbers. Chapter 24. Put it by Nehemiah Israel. We're going to book of Numbers, chapter 24. We're going to pick it up at verse
20.
Go ahead.
And when he looked down on Amalek, he took up a parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nation, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever.
Alu Yahuwah. Alu Yahuwah. Are we clear about that? That he perish forever. We know that their time is running out. They're going to be destroyed. That they perish forever. Let's get a case in point of that. That he perished forever. See what I want. We're going to Obadiah chapter 1. We're going to Obadiah chapter 1. We're going to pick it up at Let's get to the case of the matter. Go to Obadiah chapter 1. Should look at verse 18.
Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And the family of Israel shall be a fire, and the family of Joseph flame, and the family of Esau the stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the family of Esau, for the Yahuwah has spoken.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. When we're going to take care of, he said, and they should kindle in them and devour them. And so let's put a name on who today is going to take care of this. Who going to take care of all the family of Esau? Who going to do this? Give me verse 21. Give me verse 21. Let's put a name on by name. Give me verse 21.
Verse 21. And saviors shall come up to Mount Yathajudah to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yahuwah's.
According to what you just read in verse 21, who going to do this?
Yathajudah.
Yathajudah going to take care of this. Yathajudah. And now let's get a priest up for that. Let's get a priest up for that. Let's go to Ezekiel. Who going to take care of, who going to do some judging of Esau? Who going to get some judging of Esau? You can read that. Give me Ezekiel chapter 35, chapter 35. Give me Ezekiel chapter 25. We'll stop there. Give me Ezekiel chapter 25. Figure that verse where?
Ezekiel chapter 25 and verse 12. Thus saith the Yahuwah, because that Edom has dealt against the family of Yathajudah by taking vengeance.
Because Edom, somebody, Esau and his five sons. Go ahead.
By taking vengeance and have greatly offended and revenged himself upon them.
So he had avenged himself. So we're talking about Esau. And has avenged himself upon them. So himself is talking about Esau and his five sons. And then we know them is talking about the family of Judah. Go ahead and read in verse 12, verse 13. Go ahead.
Therefore, thus saith the Yahuwah, I will also stretch out my hand upon Esau and his five sons, and will cut off man and beast from it. And I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword.
What thing?
And I will lay my vengeance upon Esau and his five sons by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Esau and his five sons according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know that vengeance, said the Yahuwah. No, my vengeance, said the Yahuwah.
So Yahuwah going to use us to put the beat down of Esau and his five sons. But we're going to get our lick in, big time. That's why they know that. That's why they ain't up so quick to know who you are of everything. The corner with these 8-day feasts of tabernacles, which is interchangeable, 8-day feast of dedication, which is, they're not so quick to go have you come back to the book. Because they know once you come back to the book, their time is at an essence. Their time is at hand. They know they finished. So either way it goes, they done. And they're going to use us big time. And we're going to get our lick in big time. They know it's coming. And he's going to use Yahuwah Judah. And when you read that verse 14, he's talking about Yadav Judah. Going to verse 12, so we clear about that. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I know they read that they took hold of our substance and get back what they have robbed. What else did they rob? I've got to bring this out in Ezekiel 35. Give me Ezekiel chapter 35. I've got to bring this out. Ezekiel 35, verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 10.
Ezekiel 35 and 10, because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Yahuwah was there.
So we know Esau is five sons, and we know by name is Amalek, right? Amalek is a charge of everything. Amalek was runs everything. That's what we pay our bills to. As we pay all our bills to, phone bill, light bill, whatever bill you got, it goes to them. So we know Amalek, on record, they done took two countries, two lands. They took this western world we're on right now and this eastern world. So they took the east and western world, two countries should be there. So they took land. They done took land, both lands, the east and western world. So not only that, they took our record. Kennedy also took land as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, they know their time is at a close. That's why we got to get in order so real good. According to what they have done. 18 is Amalek, out of Amalek. 18 is a reason to heaven, and Yahuwah remembers. As a matter of fact, we're going to read that. While I say 18 is written to heaven, I'm going to just make sure I have a verse on the table. All I've got to say, according to what you can read, but that 18 is written to heaven, going to end time prophecy. For the book of end time prophecies, which said extends reaching to heaven. I'm in end time prophecy right now, the book of Revelation. Revelation. And if you can pull me out, first button there, my Israel. You can pull me out, which said extends reaching to heaven. Y'all remembered it. It's in Revelation, the book of Revelation.
No. What was that you were saying?
About they sin. They sin that reaches to heaven. Something like that. Sin that reaches to heaven. It's in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation.
18:5.
Say that again.
And 5.
Hallelujah. Bring it out. 18 and verse 5.
Revelation 18 and 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahuwah has remembered her iniquities.
Okay, let's put a name on. He said for her sins have reached unto heaven. Let's put a name on who is this her. He's talking about her sins. That reaches to heaven. Same book. Give me Revelation chapter 17. We'll get it from there. Matter of fact, give me verse 2. Give me verse 2. Read Revelation 18, verse 2. So we just ain't reading just to be reading. You know what we're reading. Give me verse 2.
Revelation 18 and 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great city, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
It said, Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. Let's get a name on who this Babylon is. And we running everything back. Babylon, Babylon, give me Psalms 137. Give me Psalms 137. Get a name of who is Babylon. Psalms 137. Psalms 137, pick it up at verse 7 and verse 8. Let's get a name. Psalms 137, verse 7 and verse 8.
Psalms 137, 7 and 8. Psalms 137. 7 and 8. Remember, O Yahuwah, the children of Esau and his five sons in the day of Yahuwah Judah, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth you as you have served us.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. So who is Babylon that we're reading about? First by Nehemiah Israel?
Esau and his five sons.
That's who Babylon, according to reading in the book of Revelation. Now we know who Babylon is, the mother harlot, the abomination of the earth. The mother harlot, Babylon the Great. That's who this mystery is. A lot of people don't know who the mystery is. But us. Voice of the true Israelites know who Babylon is. The mother harlot, the abomination of the earth, the habitation of devils. So we know that when we read in verse 5, Babylon, which is Esau and his five sons that reaches to heaven, and Yahuwah remembers her sin. They got so much sin, on record. On record. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. And Prince Bunny and my Israel?
No.
Okay, so we got a name. So we got a name on record. According to Esau, the five sons, started with Amalek. Started with Amalek. Go back to home. We know they're gonna have to beat down, but when he gonna take care of this? When y'all probably gonna take care of Esau and his fat son? Which, how much time we need that we can read? How much time that we can? Much time we read Revelation 18, read verse 4, and we read verse 5, we read verse 2. Give me verse 10. How much time did Yahuwah need to take care of Babylon, Esau and his five sons? Give me verse 10. How much time do we need?
Revelation 18 and 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
That's all we need, 1 hour. 1 hour. 1 hour. Give me verse 19. Give me verse 19. And matter of fact, pick it up at verse. Give me verse 16. We're going to read it to this. Verse 16 to verse 19.
verse 16 through 19, and saying, Alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ship and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. 18, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? 19, and they were casting dust upon their head, dust on their head, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich and all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate.
1 hour she made desolate. Made desolate. 1 hour. And she made desolate. 1 hour. And they going down. 1 hour. Made desolate. That's why it's so important to rehearse the righteous act. So important to rehearse the righteous act. So important to rehearse the righteous act. Judges chapter 5, verse 11. Judges chapter 5, verse 11. So what we're doing all the way from the first, and then between 2 to 7 days, we bump his shoulder. We bump his shoulder before we bump his shoulder before we read that Judges chapter 5, verse 11. Give me, let's see what I want. And then Maccabees, was that second Maccabees? So when we go on these feast days, what are we doing on these feast days? We're going to make that second Maccabees. Make that second Maccabees and put my eye on it. Going to second Maccabees. Looking for one word here. I'm looking for one word here in Maccabees. I'm looking one word here in Maccabees. Give me Psalms 144, verse 1, so I find my hit. First of all, Nehemiah Israel, and I'm coming back. Give me Psalms chapter 144, verse 1. Psalms 144, verse 1.
Psalms 144 and 1. To be the Yahuwah, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight.